Welcome back. Here with Dave and Faisal on 770 CHQR and More Than Money. Faisal, we've got this little thing called a federal election coming up.
Surprise one.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't call it surprise. Well, I just think it's
worst
quick.
Kept surprise, maybe, but quick, yeah. And it'd be a quick campaign, too, right?
5 weeks.
Yeah.
That's the same amount of time it takes you to get out of bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I wonder why. Hey, we're going to talk.
Because you're old. Oh, you're talking about the election
Jeez,
of 5 weeks. Oh,
thanks.
Sorry.
That was just mean. We're starting the day with that, are we? Okay. Listen, aside from your meanness, we're going to talk to an expert that can help us understand a little bit about the different policies. There's lots of questions that people have, particularly those that are retiring, right, around taxes and around healthcare and around all of these different things. And I think we should maybe get a good assessment of what does this look like? What is a campaign going to look like from an Alberta perspective? And what should we know, you know, from a retirement perspective? What can we expect to see? Lori Williams is going to join us. Lori is an associate professor at Mount Royal University. Lori, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. It's great to be with you.
All right. Well, let's regale the audience with what's going to happen over the next, call it 5 or 6 weeks or so. We've got this election called. I want to start with seniors, if you wouldn't mind, and maybe give us your take on the various party platforms with respect to what seniors might want to look for or be aware of as we move through this campaign season.
Well, probably the first thing that we're noticing is that $500 bonus given to people 75 and over by the Liberal government kicked in on Monday. Some are saying it's an obvious attempt to buy votes amongst perhaps the most committed group of voters in the country. That's pretty important, though, to just be aware that some are portraying that as a benefit to seniors, but it's a one-time benefit. And we're seeing a little bit of this happening, these one-time or one-month type benefits, and their actual impact long-term is difficult to know. That's having said that, though, we also know the Liberals have brought in the old age security benefit increases and the guaranteed income supplement. They've announced already that they're going to be introducing increases on those. So those senior supports, I think, are pretty important. To me, another one of the really important dimensions for seniors is healthcare. So ensuring that drug prices are affordable, long-term care facilities are adequately staffed and safe for seniors. I think that's going to be a huge issue. And just the whole pandemic response and what that's going to mean. I mean, we're talking when we discuss seniors about the highest risk group in Canada, and we don't yet have any information about whether people will be getting a top-up or a booster shot for their vaccines. But since it's been announced in the United States, that's something people will be watching for as well. But I just think the policies, generally speaking, and although they aren't federal policies, the federal government is providing leadership on vaccines and who broadly speaking should be eligible for those vaccines. Health Canada is providing information on that as well. I think that's something that a lot of seniors are going to be watching for pretty closely. So nobody's talking about increasing taxes except on those that are super wealthy, the super rich as they're being called. That people pay their fair share of taxes. There's a lot of talk about reducing or diminishing some of the tax avoidance measures that are in place. But that's all pretty general and vague at this stage of the game. I'm not expecting any surprises that will make it difficult for retirement planning. I think they'll be signaled far in advance, and there'll be lots of time, I would expect, at least for the Liberals and the Conservatives, lots of time to make adjustments should there be policies that change along those lines.
Lori, there's some concern out with people we speak with, people call into the show and so forth about a potential another minority government. And if the minority government happens again, and let's say it's the same way it is right now with the Liberals in charge and the NDP having somewhat power in the background, that some of these tax policies, particularly ones that are hitting higher net worth retirees, capital gains, inclusion rates going up, wealth tax, luxury tax, so on and so forth, are going to cause a bit of a concern on the people who are spending quite a bit of money to stimulate the economy. Do you think that this is going to be an impact with that category? And all, let's be fair, it's not the majority of right. people over the age of 55 who vote, but it is a good percentage. What are your thoughts about, is this a good strategy considering that might be another minority government, or is this going to be a political suicide in some cases?
Well, I think what we're looking at in, as we've seen over the last 17 months, that the NDP has pushed very hard on particular policies that are very important to them. And they've been able to get concessions. And most of those concessions, as we know, centered around COVID supports for folks that were badly affected economically, whether it be businesses or individuals. So I don't anticipate, if we continue as we have for the last 17 months, and that's actually probably the more likely scenario at this stage, another Liberal minority government, maybe with a larger minority, or maybe even a small majority government. In any case, there's the government is going to be a pretty careful about alienating solid voters like seniors. So I don't think we're going to see dramatic changes in that area. Again, we're seeing pretty consistent discussions about by conservatives, liberals, and NDs about closing tax loopholes that allow too much tax avoidance. But in terms of targeting folks just because of their income, I don't see dramatic changes happening there. And again, I think they'll be signaled, even if it's coming from pressure from the NDP. I don't think we're going to see dramatic changes in terms of taxes for seniors. To me, it just looks like all of the parties are not wanting to increase taxes. The deficit is still an issue. The Conservatives are talking about cutting programs. Some of these policies are anticipated to generate economic growth and increase tax revenue in that regard. During the election, they're not talking about increasing taxes, but in a minority government situation, increasing taxes is not going to be something that anybody's going to want to risk. So I don't think we're going to see a lot of movement on that.
Lori, every federal election that we've covered doing the show, we get the conversation about this is all about Ontario and Quebec, and the West don't have much of a voice when it comes to this election. What are your thoughts? Has things changed since the last election? And because the way things have been split up around the country, which is who's red, who's orange, and who's blue, you kind of get an idea that this could be another problem again for some, especially those who are feeling alienated in certain parts of the country. What are your thoughts about that? This is a Quebec-Ontario race all over again.
Well, there's no question that just because of the number of votes in Quebec and Ontario, they have disproportionate influence. Most of the people live there. Most of the votes are cast there. They have the greatest impact. But having said that, I and you have voted in elections when the decision of a majority government was already decided before the polls closed in Alberta. That's not going to be happening in this election. There are seats in play here in Alberta. Some people are looking at some candidates and thinking, would they be if you vote for a Liberal candidate in some of those competitive ridings in Alberta, there would certainly be a cabinet seat in play in those cases. And we've got pretty strong candidates. Let's speak specifically about Calgary right now. We've got two very strong candidates, George Chahal, who's got political experience representing the area of Calgary Skyview. And in Calgary Confederation, we've got a really Murray Sigler, who's got an incredible track record in terms of former CEO of the Calgary Chamber of Commerce, former president of Canadian Airlines, former Alberta government trade representative in the United Kingdom, president of Sports Calgary, I think it is. Here's somebody who's got a lot of experience who I think Liberals would like at the cabinet table. So in the case of a Liberal government, might be an appealing candidate. And again, we're going to be watching the polls to see if that makes much sense. You might be looking at Conservative candidates for potential cabinet material if the Conservatives are slated to win. But again, there's so many Conservatives in Alberta, the chances of having as much of an impact at the cabinet table is somewhat diminished. The reality is that although there are a few seats in play in Quebec for the Liberals, Conservatives, I think, are going to have a harder time there, according to the polls right now. Ontario is going to be a huge battleground, but so is British Columbia. And the reason for that is right now the Conservatives are relatively weak in the polls, and so the NDP and the Liberals are going to be jockeying for some of those seats in British Columbia. And not only may we not know until the votes are counted in BC, the votes may not be counted on the 20th. We may not know for a few days afterwards what the outcome of the election is. And that's quite different. That particular, you know, not knowing on the day or within a day of the election who has won is something that'll be new to Canadians, but that's because there'll be a lot of mail-in ballots.
Absolutely. Laurie, we're going to have to take a quick break here, but before we go take a break, Faisal, the thing is, no matter who's in power, and it changes all the time, no matter who's in power, people still have a lifestyle to lead. They're in retirement, they've got a lifestyle that they've envisioned, and they want to lead it, and you got to make it work through whatever government's in power at the time.
Yeah, so you need a proper structure, a discipline, an approach to reaching that retirement and making sure it's bulletproof,
yep,
no matter what happens. And we're going to talk about that on Tuesday, August 24th, 7 p.m. live online. You need to register for this webinar. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com. That's morethanmoneyradio.com.
And how could the future of healthcare be potentially impacted by this election? Let's address that after the break. You're on 770 CHQR and More Than Money.